Today's scripture is from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, from the 34th chapter, beginning at verse 11. You may find the reading in your pew Bible in the Old Testament, page 803. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they've been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the watercourses, and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I, myself, will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, but the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted at all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide, I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Would you pray with me, please? When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of us, mortals that you care for us? Dear Lord, may our words be praise, may our worship be praise, may our gathering be praise always. Amen. I don't know if you listen closely to the text from that beautiful anthem from Isaiah 11. We're sitting at rehearsal and Carol St. George looks at me and says, "The lion will graze on grass? Really? That just doesn't make any sense." And it doesn't. Because, well, I'm no cat person, but I understand that cats are meat eaters. I'm just thinking about The Lion King and, well, how the plot would be different if Timon and Pumbaa, the meerkat and warthog, came up to Simba the lion and said, "Oh man, you're feeling kind of down." And Simba said, "Well, actually, I'm kind of feeling hungry and you're looking kind of tasty." But apparently, the message of that movie and of all of our personified notions of the lion as the king of the jungle is not that lions should be vegetarians because, well, they're lions and that's not their nature. Why is it so important that lions eat grass on the holy mountain of the Lord? I think it's because we hope that the kings of humans will rise above our natures. We hope they rise to positions of power in order to uphold the public good, to take care of the people and the land in their charge. I'm not sure why. If you ever watch History of the World Part 1 from 1981, you see Mel Brooks's King Louis XVI. Brooks is the writer and director of Young Frankenstein and the producers, so you know it's a comedy. Here he's acting like many cliche notions of a king, belittling peasants, taking liberties with wife Marie Antoinette and Mademoiselle Rimbaud both, pausing, turning to the camera, and saying, "It's good to be the king." That line is cemented in my consciousness. Why is that? There's a part of me that wants my every appetite indulged without consequence, without sacrifice. It's in my nature. I'd like to think I have learned to manage my appetites, and I think I have for the most part. The convergence of power, comedy, and male entitlement does not play well in 2017. And I do not have to list the many transgressions of politicians, comedians, or others that have come to light of late. But these kings of our society have exploited mostly women and many men, violating women and men in the most intimate and personal of manners. These victims' livelihoods, safety, and for so many reasons, their senses of self are tied to men in positions of power. These men, we men, have not ruled us or ourselves well. And just when I want to think it's all men taking advantage of women, I think of those far rarer incidents when adult women in power exploit adolescent boys' budding sexuality. Just when I want to blame so much oppressive governance on men, I think of Aung San Suu Kyi, Nobel Peace Prize winner, a woman turning a blind eye to the ethnic cleansing of Rohingya Muslims in Burma. It seems a male thing because of millennia of male supremacy. As women continue to gain power, thankfully they're gaining power, but they too will be subject to their human passions. It is a human thing. It's who we are. When we have power, we don't have to sacrifice. And so we don't. There are more empty, repossessed houses in the United States than homeless persons. Some 30% of the food supply goes to waste in this country. We don't have to sacrifice so that others may have shelter, so that others may eat. So we don't. It's no surprise. We want to laugh. We want to laugh at human foibles, say out loud what many of us are thinking. And so we laugh at King Louis XVI and Mel Brooks' ridiculousness. But just so we remember that the satire is to shed light on disrespect, violation, indignity, often driven by our own frailty, our own fears, a world and a nature where we can't help but compare ourselves, our lives to others, a world where we protect ourselves, often without realizing, at the expense of others. It is hard for kings to rule others because it is hard for us to rule ourselves. I know it's hard for me, and if you think that's because I'm a man or I'm a jerk, just know that Pastor Judith admits it too. Every time you enter her office, there's a sign there: "I am silently correcting your grammar." She doesn't want to judge how I live, or at least how I talk, but she can't help it, almost as certainly as cats look for meat. It's who we are. It's how God created us. Gratefully, most of us have created filters. It would be really annoying if Judith corrected my grammar out loud. But you know, now we are losing our filters in a world of Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. It leads to all manner of exposure and confession and judgment. We can't help but judge, point our fingers without feeling the pain of what our words do. We can hear young Simba the lion saying to his father, King Mufasa, "I thought a king can do whatever he wants." We want to be the king. It's good to be the king. And God made us this way. Psalm 8 stunningly reminds us of our power. What are human beings that you are mindful of them? Mortals that you care for them. Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea. Israel cried to Samuel, cried to God, "We want a king." God didn't want to anoint a king. You know, you see what a king will do, what a king can do. But Israel persisted. Everybody else has a king. So send us one. God relented and Samuel anointed Saul, a good, just king, until he disobeyed God to gain more wealth. Even King David, the shepherd, beloved of God, sends to his death the man who is married to the woman he desires. Ah, you shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the sheep. You have not strengthened the weak. You have not healed the sick. You have not bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strayed. You have not sought the lost, but with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. Ezekiel, the priest prophet, has had it with Judah's kings. God has had it as well. In chapter 10, of the book of the prophet Ezekiel, we watch God's glory leave the temple. I am out of here. And here Ezekiel finishes 34 chapters berating the kings of Judah and the kings of the earth, the shepherds who have led their people to destruction and to exile. But in today's reading, Ezekiel foretells good news when God rules and rules everywhere. God's rule is one of favor for the weak, the poor, and those who have been trampled. Instead, they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie in green pastures. He restores my soul. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. The reign of God is different than the reign of humans. There will be a king, but not the king we cry for. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. Out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot, yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Son of David, Christ who reigns, have mercy on us. Still, part of us wants Ezekiel's prophecy to come true. We want the fat and the strong destroyed, fed with justice. But the prophecy goes on to promise only salvation and justice. Because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted at all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide, I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged. And I will judge between sheep and sheep. You may remember Pastor Judith's beautiful sermon this summer on the gospel reading for today, Matthew 25, where the Son of Man comes in glory, judging as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. Ezekiel here reminds us the same. I will judge between sheep and sheep. There are only sheep here. It's just us. The good news is a promise of a time when the reign of God does not require sacrifice. But for now, it does. It requires our King to be crucified so that we all may rise. It requires that we feed the hungry, clothe the naked, welcome the stranger, visit the prisoner. It requires that we seek the lost and bring back the strayed and bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. The good news is when we do these things, God does reign. And we have wonderful tastes of heaven because we know that when we choose sacrifice, it takes another name. It takes the name of love. We all can list the many instances of that happening here at Grace. I'm thinking of the people who will be up before dawn next Saturday to feed the hungry patients at Agape Clinic, and the staff and volunteers of the clinic who will heal the sick that day. Teachers giving up Sunday school, and even right this moment, the worship, so others may learn. And the adults who drive our youth and children, teach our youth this afternoon, lead our youth on retreat and missions using their vacation time because they love our youth and because that is what the reign of God looks like. I think of our pastor who pastors here because heaven is right here at Grace. And I think of the man who wakes up early to open doors and turn on the lights and guess between heat and cool and heat and cool. For love's sake, for kinship's sake, for my sake and for yours. And when I feel that the reign of God is far away, when I feel lost or astray, when I see the fragile world into which God breaks all the time, in which God suffers and loves, I think of how much food you piled in our entry last week for the kids at Zaragoza Elementary. I think of you parents of all kinds, and I marvel at parents, foster parents, adoptive parents, dog parents, cat parents, those who create the reign of God by living a reign of love. I think of the courage of all the women who are calling out high-profile sexual harassers at risk to their careers and their privacy in a world that still does not see the depth of their love and sacrifice. And I see the reign of God in the thousands on thousands of no-profile women brave enough to say, #MeToo, so that they may offer love and receive love from others who have been violated, and to give others strength to stand strong before they are victimized. We may have lost our filters to our frailties, but we also have no filters to the reach of our goodness, to the reach of our love. The reign of Christ ends our liturgical year today, just as Christ's reign begins our liturgical year next week, with the first Sunday of Advent, when unto us a child is born. If you ever doubt the reign of God, take the perspective of a child, your child, utterly dependent, who needs shepherding, as I do, as we do. It is a child's perspective that makes the opera Amahl and the Night Visitors endure, the world of fantasy and of three rich crowned visitors from another world, three kings to the mind of a child, following a star moving across the sky as a chariot on fire, there to visit a long-awaited child they don't know. The world of Amahl is ours in some. There's love and the pain of poverty and loss. There is celebration and envy. Amahl's mother tries to steal some of the king's gold for my child. She's caught and shamed. Young Amahl threatens to bash heads and knock in teeth unless they leave his mother alone. And kind King Melchior remembers who truly is king. A woman, you may keep the gold. The child we seek doesn't need our gold. On love, On love alone he will build his kingdom. His pierced hand will hold no scepter. His haloed head will wear no crown. His might will not be built on your toil. Swifter than lightning, he will soon walk among us. He will bring us new life and receive our death. And the keys to his city belong to the poor. There's more to being a king than getting your way all the time, the Lion King Mufasa says to his son Simba. Everything you see exists together in a delicate balance. As king, you need to understand that balance and respect all the creatures, from the crawling ant to the leaping antelope. But Dad, don't we eat the antelope? Yes, Simba, but let me explain. When we die, our bodies become the grass, and the antelope eat the grass. And in the reign of Christ, he will bring us new life and receive our death. Thanks be to God. Amen.